and bless that that reality. So I will keep this brief, but I wanted to look briefly at Christ at the center of our relationship. So I wanted to speak specifically now to those who have relational investment in their lives, which I could argue would be all of us. Whether it's husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, and of course, parents who will be parenting their children through their courtship years. So I feel like that throws the nets pretty wide, and hopefully there'll be something there for everyone. I want to start off with this premise, and I know it'll be earth-shattering and shocking. Men and women are different. I know. And you're outraged. I know. But here's the reality, though. What isn't different, though, is Christ's desire to be at the forefront of both of our relationships. And, you know, from the very beginning of Adam and Eve, God communicated equally with men and women. Of course, what was different, though, was the way in which men and women often received and utilized that communication from God. And so I want to look at a few concepts now that, and, you know, if time permits later after the session, we can engage this further. And Nicole and I really had hoped initially to be able to do this session together, but unfortunately she's not able to be with me in this moment. But we have had the privilege of doing premarital counseling for about 15 years with different couples. And we found a couple of resources to be extremely helpful. So I wanted to touch on a couple of those, as well as to look at a biblical principle. The first one I wanted to look at this morning is this. And this, some of these resources might be familiar to you, that men are like waffles and women are like spaghetti. This is actually a book by Bill and Pam Farrell. And so you can get it on Amazon, you can get it wherever. But this is where the premise looks like this. And keeping in mind that anytime someone breaks down, you know, gender differences, it's not 100%, 100% of the time. It's, you know, usually a case that most of the time it ends up this way, and most of the time it ends up this way. But with Nicole and I'll often say to her, or vice versa, you know, I'm spaghettiing right now, and I'll define that momentarily. And she'll say, you know what, I'm waffling over here. But we've created great terminology in that. This is how this premise works. Men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. If you'll notice a waffle, all right, waffles have beautiful squares, right? So you can see them. There's all little boxes and what have you. And so for men, the way that they process most of the time is that everything in their lives is beautifully compartmentalized into little boxes. All right. So you have the work box, the family box, the kid box, the marriage box, the finance box, the play box, the, you know, everything else that goes all along. And so when a man communicates or works in his life, he tends to be in one, maybe two boxes simultaneously. That's kind of the maximum capacity. But the great advantage of that is that whatever box he's in, he is fully there. He's absolutely there. He's fantastic in it. What tends to stress a man out, though, is that if you ask him to be in too many boxes simultaneously. Because the thing is about his boxes is they're not ordered alphabetically, they're randomized. So to ask him to go from the family box to the work box could be asking him to go from literally one end of the waffle to the other. Do you know how far that is to get all the way over there? Like, I got to pass through this box and this box and this box and this box and this box to get to this box. Hey, who's got time for that, let alone mental energy? And so for a man, this creates all sorts of different dilemmas. A woman tends to be like spaghetti. Now, if you notice a plate of spaghetti, every noodle is touching every other noodle. So there is no box. There's just one continuous mass. And what it means is that every thread... mass, not mess. Mass is what I said. Yes. Oh, I apologize. No, I was wondering... No, it would... Yeah. Hopefully we're not having spaghetti anytime this weekend. So what ends up happening is you'll notice with spaghetti is that everything is beautifully intertwined. So there is no compartmentalization. So the work box, the family box, the love box, the finance box that men rely upon actually don't exist. Instead, there's work, there's finances, there's love, there's family, there's kids, there's child rearing, there's what happened last week. And they're all constantly... Yeah, they are all constantly touching each other. So what ends up happening in relationships often looks like this. A woman will go to her significant other and say, we need to talk about X. We need to talk about the children. All right. Immediately, the man, being the great man that he is, hops into the children box. Goes, okay, let's talk about the children. The woman starts to relate about the children, and then all of a sudden becomes apparent to the man, because he's not completely clueless, but he starts to figure out very quickly, like, man, oh man, there's a lot involved in the children right now. This seems to be quite a big to-do about the children. When I'm in the children box, and the children box doesn't seem that big, it doesn't seem really, like, I don't really know what's understanding. And what happens is it begins to exasperate a situation because the woman starts to feel like, you don't understand what I'm saying. And the man's going, you're right, I don't understand what you're saying because we're talking about the children, and yet this all of a sudden turned into Chernobyl, and I can't see Chernobyl inside the box. The Chernobyl's in this box. It's not in the children box. But see, with the woman, what's happening is that it's not just about the children, because the children is attached to the finances, which is attached to the lack of quality time, which is attached to provision, which is attached to what we're doing on our summer vacation, which is also attached to what happened last week, because Marjorie told me about her son who did this, and my son's not doing that yet, and I'm totally concerned because that hasn't happened with our child yet, and you, husband, you're not even around to engage with this process. And poor clueless husband is like, I'm just in the children box. I'm not sure what happened. So this creates great exasperation at times amongst couples. Understanding this is massive. And this is such a beautiful tool that we love to use all the time in this analogy, because here's the deal. Men, you want to own situations and realities to the same way in which your women do. It's very simple. Ask the woman to, if she can, to pull apart the strands of spaghetti to figure out how many are actually touching that strand. Then you simultaneously start climbing into all those boxes. I'm telling you what, Nicole started doing that, I'm into four and I'm overwhelmed. I'm like, ah, it's Chernobyl! And she's like, And all of a sudden, there's equal emotional engagement in something because I want to call the fire department or something. I'm like, this is great, this is out of control! And there's instant relatability. What ends up happening, though, is that the way that Nicole helps engage me in this process is she'll actually ask me, I want you to step into this box. Or can you step into this box? Or can we talk about these two boxes? And so what she does is she gives me the freedom to be fully engaged in boxes, but also recognizes that I might be in two or three other ones right now. And to ask me to hop into these ones right now might create all sorts of instability in my thinking. So if she really wants my best thinking and my best engagement in the things that she cares about in that moment, she'll actually ask me to make the transition. And so she kind of gives me the heads up and doesn't come in to a conversation knowing that I'm already in these boxes and then ask me to all the way over to here. If it's really important to her, she'll say, can we talk about this, 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 and this, and can you get into these boxes for me? And in return, as I said, I've made the commitment to her that I will try and climb into simultaneously the additional boxes that seem to be surfaced at the time that we begin to have the conversation, because that elevates my level of engagement to a similar level of hers to show that, so I can demonstrate the proper concern. See, because often what happens as men is that we're not clueless. We just don't relate the same way. We're not heartless. We don't have the opportunity to be as engaged emotionally as you are because we're not in the same boxes. Now, like I said, things are not 100% the same 100% of the time. There are absolutely times that I spaghetti. Oh, absolutely. There are times where I'm just, wah, you know, like I'm overwhelmed. And then there's times where I'll look at Nicole like, babe, why don't you own this the same way? And Nicole's like, I'm totally waffling right now. I'm just right here. That's just where I am. And as exasperating as that can be when the roles reverse, because you certainly don't expect that, it actually, because of this verbiage for us, it gives us such a deep appreciation for the way that each other default thinks. Because I recognize how exasperating that can be for me when I'm spaghettiing and Nicole's in a waffle, and I'm like, you're not giving me what I need right now. And, oh, wait, I've looked in that mirror a few times. And so it's a beautiful book. Again, Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. And Just one of the things that Nicole and I love to do is we love to provide tools for the toolbox. And so this is a great tool. Now, this might be the wrench for your relationship and you might be a hammer person. Fine. You know what? At some point in time in your relationship, you might need a wrench, and there's a wrench, and there it is. And so looking just to provide different tools for your toolbox. Again, this is the one I love, though, starting with this one, because there are so many times where the light bulb goes on and there's a deeper understanding. And I trust appreciation for the way in which men and women process. Nicole has for a number of years come with me with the 67s. We do a chapel session entitled, What on Earth Is She Thinking? And it's basically the glimpse inside a female mind. And so you got to picture these 16 to 18 year old boys at a time when they don't even know what's up and what's down. It's my best attended chapel every year, shockingly so. And we talk about dating and relationships and what it means to think and process like a woman. And so it's absolutely amazing to when we share about these concepts, there's all these like, oh yeah, totally. And so anytime you can provide verbiage to something, it helps demystify it and helps you be able to navigate it. Because you often know there's something wrong. It's like, you hear that sound in the car again? There's that sound again. I know it's there, but I have no idea what's causing it. I know that it's not functioning properly, but I don't know how to describe it. And so being able to provide some verbiage sometimes helps with that. The second resource I wanted to look at briefly this morning is this. It's a beautiful book called Love and Respect. There have been a couple of times Love and Respect conferences in Ottawa. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to attend one. I would encourage you to do so. Again, regardless of your current marital or dating status, it's an absolutely great resource to kind of understand the way that God created us. And Dr. Emerson Eggerich based the whole book on Ephesians 5, 25 to 33. And this is what it says. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. God created us, and specifically men and women, in two great desires. Men desire to be respected. Men absolutely need to know that what they do matters, that what they do has value, and that their efforts towards that end are appreciated. And a woman's desire is to be loved, is to be cherished, is to be known that she is the most important thing in the entire world. Nicole will often say to me, babe, I know that right now you have to do this. I just want to know that if given the choice, you would choose me over this. And that's her desire to be loved, to know that regardless of what life throws at us, that my personal preference would always be her first and foremost. But Dr. Eggerich talks about this cycle. And he says it kind of feeds this way, is that what happens is that men and women get on this crazy cycle where they start spinning out of control because there's a lack of one or the other initially. See, if a husband doesn't feel respected by his wife, then his desire to actually love his wife greatly diminishes. And if he stops loving his wife, then a wife immediately stops respecting this man, because why do I want to be with a man who doesn't love me? Why do I want to respect someone who doesn't seem to put me first? And so this cycle begins to start spinning out of control, where because of the lack of respect demonstrated to the husband and the lack of love by the husband to the wife, they are totally dysfunctional in the way that they engage and they live their lives together. But if the two of them are working in unison, it creates this beautiful reality that God himself talked about. You know, verse 33 is a command. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So this is really, really interesting, because it looks like this. It looks like a birthday boy with a hat on his head coming into a room. There's a lot of respect there, love and respect there. But it looks like this, is that God commanded men to love their wives as they love themselves. See, keeping in mind that the analogy that God uses is that as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. So love is not, the man's love for his wife is not based on a desire to, or I woke up this morning and feeling like it, but actually is a sacrificial, I will always be second type of love. And so this is the love in which we need to demonstrate to our wives. And it's not an easy love, because I often joke with people is that I had no idea how much of a selfish jerk I was until I got married. And then it's like this giant magnified mirror gets put right in front of you and all of your blemishes get exposed to you. Ugh. Wow, that's unbelievable. But that sacrificial love that a husband demonstrates to his wife creates an appreciation and a security and a love in the wife's heart that she respects her husband for. And wives, we're called to respect our husbands because, you know what? A lot of times that happens in life, like we talked about spaghetti and waffles, we are not going to do things the same way that each other would do them. And what can happen sometimes is that in our relationships is that one spouse or the other will have an expectation as to how something should be done, and it needs to be done this way and look this way and be accomplished this way. And if it's not accomplished or done this way, then it's not being done the right way. The only problem with that is that what we inadvertently communicate, if that's the case, is that I actually don't trust you to do it. And that if I don't trust you, especially if that's being communicated to a man, then a man's saying, you don't respect me. You don't respect my ability. You don't respect what I bring to the table. You don't respect that I can actually do this. And more importantly, you don't respect that I actually care about this. And so Nicole and I will often talk with each other and with other people is that the thing we need to understand is that different is neutral. Different is not better or worse. Different is just different. And that it's the value that we ascribe to different that determines whether or not it'll be a positive or negative to your relationship. And so when it comes to love and respect, specifically, we're talking maybe in this moment about communication issues. One of the things that Nicole will say to me sometimes is, hey, babe, I'm wondering if you can do X. I've learned. I'm smart. I'm malleable. I'm teachable. So I've learned these things. So, babe, when would you like X to be accomplished by? And how do you have any preferences on how you would like X done? And at that point in time, now here's what's really interesting, is that when Nicole first asked me to do X, she actually had no idea at that point in time that she actually had a time frame and an expectation of how it to be done. But when I asked her, she realizes, yes, I absolutely have a time frame and an expectation of how that's going to be done. And so then what'll happen is that in that communication piece is I'll be able to ask her that. And so she'll say, yes, I would like, it would be great if X could happen by here and look this way. If in that moment that she asked me, I can absolutely do it within those parameters, no problem, off I go. But if she's asking in a point in time in which, you know what, that's not going to fit within the parameters, and I still want to demonstrate to her that I hear you, love you, and desire to provide for you, I will say, you know what, I can't do it in this time frame. I'm going to do it in this time frame, and I will ensure that it's done by then. Now, men, that's the line in the sand. So if I say to her, you know what, I'm going to ensure it'll be done this way, and by this time frame, that doesn't mean can I ask for an extension. And that doesn't mean, oops, I forgot. That means my credibility and actually therefore my wife's ability to respect me has now been placed on the line. Because if I can continuously, time after time, increase the instances in which my wife trusts what I say, her respect for me grows. And when I feel loved and cherished by my wife, man, it's so easy to love her. It's so easy. I just want to do stuff all the time for her. Listen, it's absolutely amazing when you're in a marital relationship to know that you actually possess the ability to bless someone's socks off. You know, it's just I know what can make my wife's day like that. And it's just like, you know, it's power I possess that's actually really fun. In the same way, though, I possess within my ability the resources in which I could absolutely devastate my wife. And so there's a great responsibility that comes. And so when it comes to love and respect, it's this, is that men desire to be respected. And sometimes that means that you have to respect who he's becoming before you respect who he currently is. Because you have to cast the vision for him to recognize that you are cognizant of who he desires God to turn him into, even if he's not quite there yet. And men, for you, you need to love your wife in such a way that she never, ever, ever wonders if she's first in your life. And that means sometimes sacrificing time in jobs. That means sometimes sacrificing engagement with other people. But to knowing that she's always the first person in your life and that you would literally drop everything for her. And I'm cognizant. Listen, I work in a job where my whole life, my whole summer just got told to me what it's going to look like a week ago when the CFL schedule came out. I have no control over what my summers look like anymore. Zero. I find out in February when the Fury and the CFL schedule comes out and it dictates to me where I'm going to hope to take vacation or if I can. And so there are lots of times and opportunities in my life where, you know what, I can't do this for Nicole at a time in which I desperately wish I could. So you better believe that the first moment and opportunity that I have to be able to do it, I will take that moment and that opportunity to do it. Because sometimes life happens. But it's that intentionality in which we demonstrate our love to our significant spouses and our girlfriends and our wives to demonstrate to them that we actually care about them, that they are first place in our lives, that will create that cycle. And so Dr. Eggers's disposition on this passage really continues to expand that reality. But learning to live in a cycle in which love and respect continue to feed each other. And the beautiful thing is once that love and respect cycle continue to spin in its healthiness, it's perpetual. It keeps going. I absolutely want to continue to love the woman who respects me. I absolutely want to continue to do that. But the word of caution and warning for each one of us is this, is that the crazy cycle can perpetually spin just as much. Is that if you're not respecting wives, if you're not respecting your husbands, and husbands, you're not loving your wives, to get out of that rut becomes that much more difficult. It takes a work of God and it takes humility, which is what we talked about earlier this morning, to recognize that it's not what you're reciprocatingly receiving from the other person that determines what you do, but rather your desire to honor God first and foremost with the relationship that he's blessed you with. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. There's no wiggle room in there. That can make us uncomfortable sometimes. Like, I don't really know if I like that. But guess what? We don't get that option. Liking something doesn't mean that it's something that we get to choose or not. My daughter's been fighting a cold this week, and it's hilarious to watch her take cough medicine. Oh, yeah. Well, again, this is my drama. Yeah. So... yeah, exactly. And the funny part is all I can think of in my head is the Buckley cough medicine commercial, right? Yeah. It takes off, but it works. And the funny part is that you don't have to like it for it to be good for you. And so this passage of scripture, you don't have to like about the fact that husbands, you must love your wife as you love yourself. And as was previously stated, as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. You don't have to like it, but it's good for you. And wives, sometimes too, it's hard to recognize, but respect this man, but you don't know this and you don't know that. And I don't want to dismiss those portions. but it also needs to be the vision in which we live our lives. And just because we don't like necessarily that vision doesn't mean it's not good for us. Because here's the other last point on both of these, is that it requires a level of humility to both love and to respect at times, especially when the other partner doesn't seem to be, quote, deserving of it. But that's the greater vision in which God brought us forth together as husband and wife and as a couple anyways, that the two shall become one flesh and the two together shall be greater than the two together as one becomes greater than the two individuals separately. My wife refines me in an incredible way. My wife has often been used by the Holy Spirit to challenge me. And I'm a better man for it. In the same way, our partnership goes both ways all the time, and especially the joy that we have in raising our kids. And because my wife respects me, she trusts me, I'm able to lead the way that God has called me to lead our family as well. So keeping Christ at the center of our marital or dating relationships means not only understanding the way in which God created us, but also to step fully into the responsibilities that God has called us to be accountable for. And the beautiful tension is this, is that it's always allowing God's Holy Spirit to lead us intentionally beyond our own selfishness or at times our own laziness. And so keeping Christ at the center of all of our relationships means understanding how he created us and what he's called us to. So let me close in prayer. As I mentioned, if you'd like more conversation about this or any other things, be more than happy to engage with you. And Nicole hopes to be here with Sam sometime towards the end of lunch. And so, absolutely feel free to ambush her. Your husband said this morning. You can test the veracity of what it is that I just shared with you. But we also, the two of us, would love to engage you at all at any point in time further throughout the weekend. So let me pray and then call up Les for any announcements. Father, just thanks for this opportunity to hang out this morning. Lord, thank you for your truth. God, thank you that your word permeates every area and aspect of our lives. Lord, there's nothing that you don't have a desire to influence and that, Father, that you can't speak to. And so whether it's the relationships of those that we engage with around us or whether it's the most important and integral relationships that we possess in our lives through our marriages, Father, you have so much that you desire to do and to influence. And so thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the way that you speak to us. Thank you for creating us the way that you did in order, Lord, to bring out the best and, more importantly, to create a greater reliance on you for the fullness of what it is in which you created us to accomplish and to achieve in the first place. And so, Father, I pray that we would continue to pursue your truth and allow you to work in our lives. And we thank you for this opportunity to engage this process together this morning. Pray your blessing over the rest of the day and all that we set our hands to, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.